Hi, I'm Danny.
And I'm Gabby.
And this is Clashes, a podcast exploring culture shock in all its chaotic forms.
We know a good shock can shake things up.
So we blew up our lives and crash landed in Paris.
With a delusional sense of hope.
And a dangerous bread habit.
I feel attacked. But culture shock isn't just about changing countries.
Almost. It's about embracing the unknown.
From navigating friendships in your 30s.
Awkward. To processing pop culture's oddest obsessions.
So buckle up and embrace the chaos.
One clash at a time.
All right. Welcome back.
All right.
Dude, did it sound real?
Yeah, it did.
When I was a kid, I used to, my friend Madeline and I, shout out Madeline, we used to go around to the local shops in Mequon, Wisconsin and do British accents and try, and they'd try to like.
Wait, was that British? I thought it was like Australian.
All right. Right, that would be Australian. All right. But I used to like try to convince them we were British, and they would like entertain us, right? They'd be like, where are you from? Okay. And I used to think we'd convince them, and now as I'm an adult, I realize they just were like playing with us. Like
I can't do any accents in English. I don't know why, but I can do so many accents in Spanish.
Can you do one?
Can't. No, but that's the thing.
No, like right now. No, but I mean like do an accent in Spanish.
Oh.
Like do a Spanish. Do like someone from like Barcelona versus like, Venezuela.
Okay. They like have a little lisp. So they'll be like, soy de Barcelona. Me gusta el jamón.
Even your mouth changes when you do it.
Yeah. I mean, no, honestly, I haven't. So one of my really good friends is Spanish. And when I'm with him, I can like imitate him. But I haven't like interacted with a Spanish person in a while. So I feel like my Spain Spanish is rusty. But I cannot do an English accent to save my life.
I mean, it's hard. That would be like me trying to do an accent while speaking French. It's like physically impossible.
I can only do like the French French people trying to speak.
You're actually good at that.
I live with a French person.
I know.
Daniela,
I can't even
clean
do
up everything because it's a mess. So it's like, yeah, it's so because I live with him and he has like the craziest
accent.
It's
funny because when you impersonate Paul, you actually do his mannerisms too, which I find so funny. Yeah, I can't do it. Wait, what did you do this week? Anything fun? Did you eat anything cool that you can share that's not Substack exclusive?
No, I'm trying to think. Actually, I don't think I just worked a lot this because the week before that I didn't do anything because it was like beautiful and sunny.
Yeah, I know.
So this week I lost it. I need to do work. So I don't really think I did anything too crazy.
What's that bowl place? Are we allowed to share?
Yeah, of course.
What was that?
Ondo. It's so okay. Ondo, I don't know.
I met Danny for it's basically the Dig In of France.
It's so good.
It was really good actually.
Yeah, they have two. They have one in the 9th. The one we went to was in the 9th, and one in the 10th, like deeper in the 10th.
Oh, I didn't know they had two.
Okay. They're both so good.
But my stomach is growling just thinking of that miso. What was that eggplant? It was like miso eggplant.
It was really good.
Oh, I
always
like
get their like adobo chicken, which is like really good.
I was shocked. I got the tofu. I don't know. I was in a weird vegetarian mood and I thought it was cooked so well.
Oh really?
Because tofu it's hit or miss.
Sure.
Yeah, it was cool. We lost the sun too. Now it's like started raining, which is
we're
kind
back
of a bummer
to Parisian
but we're back to productivity. I had my week totally ruined by the tariffs and it was joy and my job was a disaster because of it. So that's
did
fun.
It really get affected by it?
Yeah, because I work with a lot of food startups and some of the startups source their ingredients from different countries, and so some of them, I mean, so one of the companies sources ingredients from China, but it's like a really cool Chinese food brand. Oh. So they're facing like massive tariffs. And
what are they gonna do? Are they gonna like up their prices?
They're not sure yet. Yeah. They're not sure yet.
I've been seeing a lot of small brands post on their Instagram like, we don't know what's gonna happen, so stay tuned.
That's what's wild. It's like these people, those bigger brands have massive inventory, but some of these brands like,
and they like can play with like the loopholes and like legalities around it, but a small startup is gonna
they're
be,
screwed. Yeah. So anyway, that was a joyful experience. And moving on to another joyful experience today.
Have a beautiful taco. It's a positive experience
actually,
we'll all go through.
I was thinking this is kind of the ultimate clash. It is. Like in life.
Yeah.
A breakup is basically the most like clashy thing you can experience.
Yeah. It really makes you feel like shit.
And there's like a before. There's an after. It changes
there's
you.
There's a during.
Yeah. Don't I know it. There's a during. And I just think during. And I think, yeah, I just feel like it's one of the biggest kind of shocks of life. And I think we want to talk about it because, well, I know I want to talk about it. I'm curious what you find interesting about it. But like, I think this idea that we move on from them and then kind of forget how bad they were is really interesting. And I'm just on the cusp right now between like the before and the after. Yeah. And I can feel my brain already starting to forget some of the pain from the past 3 months. And that to me is wild because it was so bad. I just can't believe. And it makes so much sense to me now why the friends I was talking through were like, you'll be good. You'll be fine. Yeah. You'll get over it. Just time. And I'm like, no, you don't get it. I'm dying.
Yeah.
Like I'm dying. I just, yeah, I can't believe it.
I think it's really interesting how resilient humans are.
Yes, that's it.
And yeah. how like we could feel like we're literally dying and then like 3 months later we're like, shots at the bar, like
I was doing shots talking to random, of course, like 5'2" men at the club on Friday. Like I feel so but, much better.
And also outside of that, I was like, I'm ready to date.
Yeah,
even though like I just went through hell. Yeah, I for me it's interesting, obviously, like I've been through breakups too, and what I was telling you offline earlier was like I think we all go a little crazy. And mm-hmm. when I say that, I don't want to say that because I don't like particularly calling women crazy, but I actually think we go crazy. And then when I looked it up and I was like, is there any like
you data? Do we go crazy?
Right? Do women go crazy? No, but I actually looked up like, is there any data or science that backs up the fact that we actually go a little crazy when we are going through a breakup? Mm-hmm. And there are tons of studies so and things that basically say, yes, your brain chemistry is altered. So that was to me very interesting because I'm like, I always felt like when I went through a breakup, particularly like a very painful one, you feel a little crazy. You feel a little like mm-hmm. out of it. Mm-hmm. Like you're not yourself. And it takes you a little while to get back to yourself. And to me, I was like, it has to be a real thing. It
yeah, like this has like, to be something that's actually like physiologically, neurologically
exactly.
wrong with
my, not like yeah. it's in your head, like just get over it. It's like, no, actually I wake up and I'm thinking, I'm not thinking clearly. Mm-hmm. Like why is this happening? So that was like, to me, the interesting part to kind of like validate that part of it, of like, it's not only are you like in pain because this thing happened, but like you're physically and like physiologically, your brain is yeah. not acting right.
Yeah.
And to me, that was a fascinating.
It is fascinating. And I think part of what we want to do talking about it is like validating that, like what you're going through, if you're going through a breakup / you know, recently have, it's just, it's so common and it's not outside the norms of, I think a lot of people feel like there's a right way and a wrong way to cope with a breakup. There's a right way, a wrong way to move through it. There's a right way and a wrong way to recover. But what I like about being so close to it is just realizing that like when your brain goes haywire, all rules are off. Like you basically are totally chaotic and that's okay. It's just kind of like learning to accept it, because I don't think you can really move through it unless you accept it. Learning from you is, you've been good about kind of sharing to your own coping mechanisms when you're going through a breakup. And I think you're very gentle of being like, no, you're going to be like crazy for like three to four months, you know?
Because I think it's easier to accept the fact that it's like, it's going to be shitty.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like you're going to go crazy and you're going to do stupid things and you're going to make bad choices. Cause like, again, your head is, your brain is not.
No, you're kind of like a different person
yes,
for a while. Yeah,
exactly. And I think you need to go through all those things. Cause like, yeah. if you don't, like, I just don't think you're going to heal otherwise. I think you need to go through all the shitty parts of it. Even like, making out with a stranger and then like feeling like shit the next morning, or like whatever it is, or watching yeah. that one show that reminds you of him, like whatever it is, like you have to go through all the shitty parts of it and then eventually you'll come out, you know.
Do you have a coping, do you have kind of your go-to, I know it's been a while for you, but like a go-to coping regimen that you have gone through?
Yes. Well, I, so the, when I was preparing for this episode, I was like, let me look at the stuff that I used to do. And I actually have a playlist
really?
On
really?
Spotify that I made.
Wait,
it's
no
called
way.
You're Not the One, after that Sky Aww. Ferreira song that I love.
Danny, that's so cute.
And well, I wouldn't get call too emotional. There's Jason Derulo's part of the playlist. It's a wild mix of like general breakup anthems, Jason basically. Derulo. It's like, I'm riding solo. I'm riding that one.
Okay, that one.
But then you also
that's
have like so Carly Simon age. Like you're so vain.
Oh.
So it's like it's very general, so I could apply to any kind of man or woman yeah. you dated. And I was listening to it the other day when I was preparing the doc for this, and I was like
so
jamming
funny.
To some of these, and I was like, there's a lot. So I particularly love like the music therapy, like listening to like Alanis Morissette, You Oughta Know, like
oh,
angry
that's such
anthems.
A good one. Yeah.
Even if it's like he didn't leave you for like another woman. Like
no,
I think
you for a while. I mean, that's like, I'm obsessed with like having to like anger as a tool and
yes.
knowing when to use it and knowing when to leave it. But I think sometimes anger is fully necessary to move through sadness.
Yeah. You got to feel yeah. all the emotions. And I think it's kind of like grieving, right? You have to feel whatever all the seven steps are.
Yeah.
And so anger is part of it. So I think like a good karaoke session with your friends, like screaming out, I think I know.
Also, you know, like singing is like a vagus nerve.
Yes.
Like it actually regulates your emotions.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And like, I think we did this like a couple of years. We all went to karaoke And it was like very cathartic. We were like screaming and it was like really fun.
I was just saying, I want to book one of those private rooms in Paris, like really badly. I can feel the urge to scream music. Like I feel it. I think it needs to come.
We need to, yeah.
But it's so funny because this most recent breakup for me, I actually couldn't listen to music for about three months. I'm now just in such a music stage because I couldn't feel, I was too overwhelmed by emotion, couldn't feel the emotion, but I have become like a podcast, like, but like obsessive to the point that I think people would be like, what's happening? Like I'm listening to 8 to 9 hours of podcasts a day because I listen while I work. I listen while I get up in the morning. I listen before I go to bed. I listen when I go for a jog because I can't be alone
with, your
with
thoughts.
My thoughts. Yeah. So I have to.
But you have to be alone with your thoughts.
I have to temper. So it's like, you know me.
You regulate.
Believe me.
Yeah.
I have a lot of thoughts.
Yeah.
So like I need to like pick my time when I have the thoughts. But then the rest of the day, I can't be obsessively. Something that I've been working through in therapy a lot is you can't like hyper focus sometimes on certain things. Like I don't want to hyper focus on like picturing him with a new girl, you know, and there are moments when that just has to cut off. Like it becomes too much, and having like audio and conversations in my ear is really
You're concentrating on something else. But I think that's another thing. You need to feel your feelings even if they're like shitty. But so for me it was a couple of things. So I have this playlist, I'll share it with you. It's really funny. It's honestly curious. Like I was laughing because I was like, oh my god, what was I going through when I made this? Because it was just like so random, but it's actually fun. And then I would say like there's two like breakup anthems that I love, one in Spanish and one in English. English is You Ought to Know by Alanis Morissette. It's just like you just like want
to. Do you know one time I went to LA with my two best friends from childhood and we drove to Alanis Morissette's house because her house was like publicly listed.
Yeah,
and we opened all the windows and we blasted that song and screamed it outside.
Love.
Sorry, Alanis.
I think she would love that. If you're listening, I was kidding. And then the second one is a song by Shakira when she used to sing in Spanish. It's called Inevitable, Inevitable. And it's also kind of similar vibe, like rocker vibes, like screaming into the microphone. And it's like, it's about a breakup essentially. So those are like my two, I would say, top.
I love that.
Like songs. And then I also love a combination of like sage and Palo Santo. So sage cleanses your bad energies and Palo Santo will attract good energy. But always do it with a window open because the energy has to leave. So if you do it,
I didn't know that either. Okay.
Me either. My friends are all like kind of witchy and they've taught me a lot. So again, this might be placebo effect, but something.
Who cares? Like, do what you need to do.
Exactly.
Go with your intuitive. Go to your astrologer. Go to your. Exactly. This is where I'm at the point where I'm like, do anything that you leave and you're like, I've got this. Like something's looking out for me.
I always joke that, you know, things are not going well when you're like reading your horoscope. And I actually believe
when
that.
I'm clinging to my horoscope.
Exactly.
Clinging. I mean, you know, I got my tarot cards read the other day.
I mean, well, to be fair, maybe I'm never in a good space because I love all that shit. But too. I do think when you're like screenshotting your pattern app and being like, this is so me. And like, that's when you're like going through, because you need someone to tell you like it's going to be okay.
Yeah.
And then the last thing I would recommend is when I was going through a really shitty breakup in New York, I found this book. I don't even know how I found this book, but there's this Colombian author. Her name is Amalia Andrade, and she wrote a book in Spanish, but now it's been translated into like 7 different languages. It's called You Always Change the Love of Your Life for Another Love or Another Life. And it was like a breakup guide.
Whoa.
Yeah. And it's basically saying like when you go through a breakup, two things are going to happen. You're going to find someone else. Like you're going to find another love of your life, or you're going to change your life completely because you have to like move on from this very traumatic experience you had. So she wrote it after a really tough breakup she went through, and she wrote it as like a guide of like how to get over your ex essentially. And it has a mix of like a roadmap to get over a broken heart. It has like illustrations. It's not like very text heavy because she's an illustrator. Mm-hmm. I mean, she's a writer too, but it's a mix. She puts like song lyrics. She talks about Britney Spears. It's just very
I want to read that.
Like, I think there's even like a cookie recipe there. Oh. Like, it's very cute and very fun, but it's still very deep. And there's something about like, I don't know, almost like a cartoon telling you you're going to be okay, but still being deep enough.
My whole Instagram and TikTok are like animated shorts. Giving me advice from a guy with like an Australian accent.
I love it. But so, I would say like, I don't have like a guide, but I think I normally go through the emotions. Like music plays a big role. I love cooking, you know, just like trying new things. And obviously, you know, when I was younger, I was like, let's go to the club, let's get drunk, let's like finding activities. I think it's also something very important and like keeping yourself busy. When I was younger, those activities usually revolved around alcohol, but I think when you get older, maybe you're like, I want to try crafting, or I want to try whatever. So I think it's just like keeping yourself busy is always good. But I think at one point you need to feel your feelings. And it's up to you when you decide to do that.
It's always an oscillation. Like, the way that I think about it is, like, you can't feel the feelings 24/7 because it's too much. Like, my body's going to break. So it's about, like, oscillating through stages. And I've been trying to work through in therapy, like, in the moments. My therapist was actually giving me advice to say, why don't you set aside two times a day? So morning and night. And these are your, you know, 1 hour, 45 minutes where you're just going to sit with it, you know, because having a full-time job is really hard, really, really hard when you're going through a breakup. It just feels almost impossible and super unfair that you have to get on a work call and be like, how's everyone doing today? How's the weather? When you're actually fully crushed. So that's been helpful. It's also been helpful for me to recognize, I think of my emotions and those really strong emotions like a wind. And so every once in a while, for kind of no reason at all, the wind will just like blow and I'll feel so much emotion and I'll start crying. And I really have tried to be like, it's a breeze. It's going to move through me and it's going to move past. Like, just sit with it while it's here. Don't judge it. Try to don't force it to go away. Just feel it. And I've noticed ever since I've been picturing it like a wind like that, I felt so much better after. I've been like, okay, I can like now move on with the rest of my day. That was one of those little breezes. It comes and it goes. And I just, it's really helped me cope. So like, I think just, I agree with you, setting aside time, you have to feel it. I think everyone always says that, like, you have to feel your emotions, but also understanding what that feels like in your body. What does it feel like for you to feel emotions?
Yeah.
I also think then oscillating with, I don't know how you have been, but sometimes I just really didn't want to see people, but I know for myself, I have to force myself and I'll always feel better afterward. So learning the difference between like feeling my feelings and wanting to wallow and then being like, okay, the breeze moved through me. It's been an hour. I've been crying for an hour. My friends invited me to go walk by the sun and have a glass of wine. Yeah. Like, I'm good to go out with my friends, you know?
I think you always feel better when you do that. I tend to isolate a lot when I'm going through something, but I think my friends know that. So when I was so going through... Yeah. That really bad breakup in New York, I like stopped answering my friends at one point and my friend booked the flight and went to New York.
She was like, what a good friend. That's so
which
nice.
At the beginning I was like, oh my God, now I have to like take her out and do shit. And it was perfect because it forced me to leave my house. I was like in a depression hole in my bed.
I know. And it's so like, easy to trick your brain, to like trick you that's what you need.
Yeah.
And I always like, I never like people telling you what you should do in a breakup. It pisses me off because I'm sure I've gotten a million DMs and a million people that are like, you should do this. But this is my one exception, which is like, you should force yourself out and do things and see people.
I think it's like you said, it's like a mix. You sometimes need to be in bed for 3 days in a row and not see anyone. And then there comes a point where you have to hit like a breaking point. It's like, okay, I haven't interacted with a person other than like the Deliveroo guy. So like, it's time to like get dressed, take a shower, go outside. So I do think there's like a mix of those, at least for me. That's what I mean. Like almost, I feel like almost getting a new obsession helps. Like,
or starting a podcast.
Exactly. No, like working out, getting into pottery, walking 20,000 steps, whatever. Yeah. Like what is like another thing you can work?
It's a goal.
You know, a goal.
Yeah. The thing is, I always think about, like I think about my ex and I think about every ex before. And I think about, so one of the biggest things they tell you when you're going through a breakup is women process it like in general. Also process it more quickly, shocker. And oftentimes, like I saw this with my ex, like he won't process it at all. Like he'll sign up for a marathon and that'll be his goal, but he'll use that as an entire distraction. And I think what we're finding this, like what we're talking about is finding that middle ground. Like you can sign up and do these things and it's good to have focus and good to have goals. But at the same time, don't let that be a distraction, because I was talking with friends this week about how a lot of times you'll find a distraction right after a breakup and then you'll get into another relationship. But then when that one ends, it'll like double down the pain of the past few relationships, because you're like, fuck, I didn't even cope with any of those. And now it's like waterfall all at once affecting me. So it's really hard to find that balance. But I think, you know, like if you treat your body like a plant that needs care, I always think that you're just going to kind of know if you strike the right balance rather than like completely ignored your emotions.
Yeah, I think the hobby, you need to use it more as like, I need to distract myself and I need to like leave the house rather than like, this has to be my new obsession.
And like, not like a Band-Aid. It's not a Band-Aid.
Yeah. Exactly.
Yeah. I always think too about getting your power back. I had a therapist once say to me so bluntly when I was going through a hard time, it seems like you've lost your power. And I always think now, what are the activities that make me feel so in my body, so mm-hmm. proud of myself, of my personality. Sometimes for me, it's like, I love meeting new people. So sometimes I'm like, oh my God, I love meeting new people. This brings me joy. I love talking to strangers. Sometimes that's, I don't know, like I play the guitar. So sometimes that's just like writing music or playing the guitar. But after I do it, I'm like, oh, I'm powerful. Like, I'm like, you can see my gestures right now, but I like, yeah, I think so. I always think getting, feeling your power, remembering you're powerful after a breakup. Yeah. Do you recover quickly? Like, what is your timeline?
I was going to say, I think it's really interesting. I've heard a million things about like breakup timelines. Like some people say like it takes, what was it? 1 month
for
every year you were together? Or was it?
I thought it was supposed to be take half the amount of time.
Yeah. Like I've heard a bunch of different ones. I don't actually think there is a timeline because I think, I mean, every breakup is so different and some people like backslide and talk to their exes and like maybe hook up. So I think it's like really hard to be like, there's a timeline, like in 6 months you'll mm-hmm. be cured. You know, it's like, I think it's kind of hard. I think it's like you said, it's you doing the work and going through all the phases and going through all the steps. And if you kind of ignore it or you're in denial for longer, it's going to take you longer to get over this person.
Right.
If
you start, or like come right back away, and bite you in the ass like later. Yeah,
exactly. Ugh. Or like people who go and get themselves a rebound, like that is going to make you feel good for like the moment, but then it's going to all hit you mm-hmm. at once. So.
And you're also going to make the same mistakes over and over then if you're,
yeah.
You know, I think a lot of times when you do that, you date someone that's reactive. I was listening to some other podcast the other day and they were talking about, I forget what they called it, but they were like the 99% of something. And they were like, you'll be dating someone and they'll have like 99% of what you're looking for, but then you'll break up. And then instead of like going to find someone else who has like 98.1% of what you're looking for, you go and date someone who has that 1%. So you basically oscillate between opposite versions. Yeah. So I always look back at my rebounds and like they're, like I'll date one kind of person and then I'll date the complete opposite who has nothing in common with anything I want, but filled in that one tiny percent. And so now I notice when I pace myself and take time after a relationship, I'm much more less likely to make a decision like that, you know?
Totally. Yeah. I was like trying to think math wise, my last breakup. And I talk about my last breakup a lot because it was
a tough one.
The one I can, it was a tough one. And it's the one I can think about the most, like that I remember. And that one was, we were together for 2.5 years and it took me, I would say, a full year to get over him.
Get over it. Yeah.
I was dating 6 months after the breakup. Like I was like on the apps and stuff like that. Or I wouldn't even say like 4 months after the breakup.
Yeah.
But I was fully over him, I would say a year.
And how did you know you were fully over him? Do you remember? Like,
because I was like, I don't give a fuck if you talk to me anymore.
Oh, wow.
And we got not a fight, but like he basically, I was planning a trip to Europe and he was like, that was supposed to be our thing. And I'm like, you broke up with me, you fucker. You
know? That was a year later he said that?
Yeah, well, because he broke up with me, but he kept kind of tabs on me. And I think it was
love.
His way.
I love those kinds of guys. I know. What a joy. I'm so happy we lovely have them man. In the world. Yeah.
I think, to be fair, he was a nice guy. And the reason we broke up was because he was like clinically depressed and like couldn't handle being in a relationship. So it was also really hard for me because I couldn't really be mad at him for that. Like it wasn't like, quote unquote, his fault, you know? So I think it was even hard. It took me longer. If he would have done something, maybe I would have gotten over him quicker. But I think he also kept on like checking in on me and talking to me. And I was still like, I still have feelings for him. There was a lot of like,
of course, there. Like, so there's a chance.
Yes. Yeah. And then when he made that comment to me, that's when I realized, I was like, and I told him, do you still have feelings for me? And he's like, what do you mean? It's like, I'm like, are you in love with me? He's like, I have love for you. And that's when I was like,
and that in that moment when he said that, you were like, woof,
it's that's not like something clicked so in my brain. And I was like, oh, you're just like stringing me along. You don't really care about me. Wow. You just want to like have control over me. And you want to make sure I don't get into like another relationship in case, I don't know, you change your mind or whatever it is that he was going through. And I'm like, there's no future here. And like you, when I said like, I'm going to Europe, and I was very happy because it's like, it wasn't a solo trip, but it was sort of a solo trip.
Yeah, like you're.
And I remember him trying to like take that away
from me. Oh, that's so annoying. Yeah.
And that's when I realized.
That's cool that was the moment when you're like, you don't get that. Like,
yes.
You gave me, yeah.
I was like, you know what? Fuck you. Yeah. Like, you broke up with me. Now you're stringing me along for a year. I mean, even though I was dating, but like, I think the fact that he was there in the back of my mind was never going to, like, I was never going to fully move on. And that's when I decided, I don't want any communication with you. Like, I'm going to Europe. I'm going to have a hot girl summer. I don't want to talk to you anymore. And he was so shocked by it because I think he was like, oh, I'm going to control this girl forever if I want to. And then that's when it's like, I don't know, something so clicked. Annoying. But I think it's like the comment. It was, I don't think it was random either. I think it was like the combination of that whole year, me working through everything, going through the emotions, making my choices.
It's like be ready when luck happens.
Kind of.
Be ready when they do a dick move and you're actually ready to get over it.
Well, because I caught it and I could have easily been like, oh my God, so nice. He's thinking on me. He wants to come to Europe with me. And instead I was like,
help us.
Europe is mine, asshole.
I love that. Yeah. That's so interesting. I feel like, well, what I've heard, first of all, is that you kind of know you're done when you feel indifference, which is really interesting. It's not hate. It's not love. It's like, just like, I don't know, if they're with someone else, it's fine. Like,
I felt like I was pissed at him for saying that. And then I was indifferent in the sense, like, I don't really care if you talk to me.
Yeah. Anymore. See, that's wild. Yeah. That takes a really long time and a lot of work.
Oh, it
to
took
get
me a
to.
Year.
And I think we look sometimes at our friends and we're, because we haven't been through a breakup recently, we're so confused sometimes. Like, what are you doing? Like, why are you like taking so long to get over this? And it's interesting, like learning how to be a friend for other people and learning what you want from friendship. Because you can't also just be talking about your breakup 24/7. Like, then you're an exhausting person. It's an interesting dynamic.
Yeah, but I think the friend thing is... always comes from a place of like, I see who you are and the bum you're chasing after, you know. It's like, and I think the friend perspective is more like, and I know it's annoying too, but I think the way that friends see it is like, because I see this a lot with my friends, I'm like, why are you obsessed with this idiot? Like, and it, obviously because you're seeing it from the outside, you don't have feelings for this man. Yes. So obviously you see him for what he is, but this person has feelings for this. So it's like, that's, I think, the difference.
Yeah, he's not on a pedestal for you.
Yeah. And you don't have the connection with him. Yeah. You don't have like the emotion. So obviously you're seeing it from like, what, this bum? But I do think it's annoying. And I think a lot of people going through a breakup, because I felt this way and I'm sure you felt this way too, is like, at one point you're like, I don't want to talk about this anymore. People are going to think I'm like crazy.
I know. Well,
like,
what's hard, because then what's really hard is learning to moderate that without suppressing it. Get the help you need, whether that's therapy or whether that's, I don't know, ChatGPT therapy, and then so that you don't feel like you're hiding it or that it's like eating away at you and you can't bring it up with friends. I think the social aspect of breakups is so interesting. I was thinking about it too in terms of colleagues and work and how to navigate it, because faking you're fine in those settings is so unbelievably painful. But at the same time, like, I don't want to talk about a breakup with my colleagues. So it's really hard to navigate. And what I think is so crazy about why it's hard to navigate, like, if, you know, if you have a death in the family or something along those lines, for the most part, it's pretty accepted that you're going to take, you know, maybe you take a grieving time, you go for a funeral, you're not going to be at your best for a little while. But even though breakups are one of the most common things that people go through, it's still one of those things that I think isn't super societally, we don't really know how to cope with it as people. Like, I don't think we have the rituals and the regimens that we would have around like another type of grief we acknowledge, which is why I kind of wanted to do this podcast to like create a space and give permission, most of all to myself, to be like, this is a journey. This is like a grief journey, and this is really fucking hard. And I don't know. I just don't really think society has like, it's getting better.
Yeah.
But I don't think we have like a built-in safety net for how to cope and help people cope with
it. I think that's where you go to therapy, because you can talk about it freely. Yeah. Or your therapist. You're paying your therapist.
Game changing.
So you can talk
until the day you fucking die. If you want to bring up Chad when you're 18 until you're 75 years old, like, you're allowed to do that.
And I think a lot of people turn to like journaling and things like that to like let their emotions out.
I think so much of moving through breakups is realizing when you're done with a certain phase of it.
Yes.
Like, I had a lot of anger after this last breakup, like a lot of anger. But then went to therapy, and then I literally asked her, like, what is the role of anger here? Mm-hmm. And it's multifold. Like, one role of anger is because it's a coping mechanism. It is helpful to blanket sadness with anger, but there's a certain point when the anger is no longer useful. It's not helping you move forward. And the same thing, I think, with venting to friends, you know, what can a friend do at a certain point, unless you're moving through a different stage and you said, hey, okay, I hit this new wave of the breakup where I'm thinking a lot about,
or like,
I don't
he
know.
Did something or
whatever. That makes more sense. But I like thinking of breakups as this, I picture in my head like this timeline that's split into all these little chunks, and each little chunk is its own little wave of like, that was a sadness wave, that was a regret wave. I mean, I get why they have the stages of grief,
because
it makes sense. But I like to also learn what it feels like in my body to be like, okay, you know what, I am ready for a new stage of this. Like, I've burnt out my anger, I cannot be angry anymore. Like, it's exhausting me physically.
And I think you can be honest with your friends, and something I love asking, I've seen this, like, a lot of people post this on social media, but I'm like, do you want support or do you want feedback?
Yeah.
Because the support would be like, yeah, you're right. He's an asshole. I agree with you. Everything you're saying is right. And feedback could be like,
shut the fuck up. I'm just kidding.
No, feedback could be like, hey, yes, I feel bad that this happened. You're so right. Go through all the feelings. You need to stop talking. Whatever.
Yeah.
And like, I wouldn't ever tell someone to stop talking about their breakup. But it'd be like, I don't know. I think you can be honest with your friend and be like, it's been 6 months. What can we do? Like, can we try an activity together? Can like, how can I help you that isn't, let's talk about this bum for 3 hours again. So it's like, that's the only thing. Cause I do think the only time I could think of that I could get annoyed is when I feel the person isn't working through it.
That's it. Because I think the only time you get annoyed is when you're like, hey, I think we reached the end of this phase. We're just rehashing the same thing. And what you would hope is that people know how that feels in their body when they're like, you're just rehashing. But I don't think we do. That's why my like zoom out on timeline is everyone tells you that you're going to have all these stages. Everyone tells you have to feel it, but you also have to distract yourself. But you have to, the advice is there. The problem is you have to learn what in your body it feels like to need alone time, to need sad time, to need friend time, to need therapy. It's really, the last 4 months for me have been the stage of learning to feel how all that feels in my body. Like I'm sometimes,
and it's not fun.
It's not fun. And it's so aware. And I just feel like I have such a different relationship with my body and my feelings now. Cause I will have these days where I'm like choked and I'm like, fuck, I didn't realize like that feeling is I need to cry for 4 hours, you know? And then I'll have these other feelings where I feel suffocated and I'm like, oh, that feeling is I have to get out in the open and see these friends. But no one ever explained to me that working through a breakup is learning to like really trust your body telling you it needs certain things at certain times. Otherwise, I moved through all my other ones way too quickly and I did not process them fully. And I frankly have made the same mistakes because I didn't process them fully, you know?
I think the problem is we're told, or not we're told, but I think the way that people think they should deal with breakups is like, just be cool about it. Like, just who cares?
Like you're hot. Like he was a slut, whatever.
I think instead when you talk to you, tell people, lean in.
Yeah.
Get the shitty book that's going to tell you why men are bitches and or why women are bitches. Whatever. Men are bitches too, but you know, like.
Men are certainly bitches. If I learned one thing in life, it's that men are bitches. No, like,
go fully cliche breakup. Get bangs. Flirt with the bartender. Like, you know, like I think people should really fully lean in. The reason I think people don't is because a lot of it is cringy. A lot of it is like,
that's a really good point.
It's like, I don't want to feel like shit. And it's like, you must. Like, unfortunately, there's no way around it. So,
I agree with you.
But it's I think the problem is like, it's not like, I wouldn't want to call it self-harm because it's not what it is, but it's almost like putting yourself in a shitty situation, which is like, it's against our nature because you want to protect yourself. But unfortunately, when you go through a breakup, you're going to feel like shit. That's an interesting way
to put it. Like it's like almost, you have to be willing to feel hard things. Yeah. And sometimes that just feels too much.
And I think that's a problem. And I think that's why a lot of people end up backsliding and talking to their ex again. And what they don't realize is that they're just making the process last longer. Right. But I understand naturally, you're going to want to protect yourself. You're going to want to feel good. But unfortunately, going through a breakup is being cringy, is being annoying, is being the friend that's always talking about the same thing. Like, you just have to lean into it because the more you wait to feel that and to go through the process, the longer the process
is. This is why you have guys who are like 45 years old and they're like, why can't you commit? Unhealed. And they're like, and they're like, well, a girl broke up with me when I was 14 years old.
Literally.
I mean,
my middle school girlfriend cheated on me and you're like, what?
Oh my God. Like, no one wants to be like that. So, agree. There's no timeline.
This is actually a perfect segue into, so my main theme around like what was interesting to me about breakups is like, I think when I think back of when I went through breakups, I'm like, I feel like I wasn't myself. Like I was actually a little off my rocker. Like something was like,
I wish I had known you.
Like but it's not even like, I don't even know if you could tell. It's just like the way I felt. Yeah. I was like, I feel like feral right now. Like I can go make out with a stranger or I can go and like do a line of cocaine. Like I don't know what is going to happen. Like, and that's not normally something I would feel. So to me, it was almost like, why do I feel off? Like, why am I making poor choices, bad decisions? Why am I doing all these things, right? And then I was like, I need to look this up. And yes, there's a ton of like science and data that basically says that your brain basically goes when you, there's been studies that show that heartbreak activates the same part of the brain that physical pain does. Mm. So you are actually literally in pain. It's not like, oh, my heart is broken. It's like, no, you're actually in physical pain also.
Yeah, I can believe that. I was telling you before that I feel pain like in my arms and my hands, like when I'm crying and I'm really sad. Like I can sense that there's like a synapse between those two different types of pain.
That's literally a symptom of a breakup.
Really?
Yes. It feels physical it's like pain. Physical pain is a symptom. It's like,
that's so wild. Like I have like body aches.
Yeah. And that's like actually normal. Like that's like a lot of people who go through breakups experience physical pain. But also I was reading that falling out of love affects dopamine, oxytocin, cortisol, which basically is you're feeling like withdrawal.
Yeah.
Like I've been told this before. If you were on drugs and all of a sudden someone took the drug away from you.
I mean, it's literally the same thing. Yeah. That's what I felt so much where I like your body goes into this. I mean, have you ever like taken like ecstasy or like MDMA, like the next morning the next morning they always tell you that like you're gonna be in like
a downer
and I think that is what you're going through, but you're going through it for like this massive period of time. It is crazy. It's that you found that it's like neurological.
Yeah,
this is why I just find it so validating, because it's so crazy that we have this world where I just often feel like we're meant to move on so quickly, but we're literally going through physical like trauma.
Actually, our brain is being altered by this experience. Yeah.
Yeah.
The other thing was the surge and decline of hormones in our brains when we experience a breakup are also similar to those felt. Well, like I was saying, when withdrawing from like a drug you're addicted to. So it's like love is almost like a drug, and then they take it away. And so you're going through
Depends what you think love is, but like some form of at least affection or mutual affection.
Right. Yeah. I mean, the effects that it has on your brain are similar to the effects doing drugs.
Yeah.
And that's
why I think the power thing is so, it means so much to me about getting your power back, because I don't know, when I do stuff that gives me power, I feel like it really gives me that dopamine hit, but in a healthy way. And just learning what are my healthy dopamine moments, like, and not in a way that I wish they were, you know, I wish doing a one jog, you know, gave me a dopamine hit, but it doesn't. But like, there are certain things I do that give it to me, which I found healing, because I can almost feel in my brain, like my tank is filling up, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then the whole physical pain thing, apparently, they did some MRIs to see like the pain felt during a breakup, and the MRI scans basically were similar to MRI scans of when you have physical pain left when you have like a severe burn or a broken arm.
Whoa.
So if you want to compare it to physical pain,
does everyone feel bad for me yet? Seriously,
Gabby has had a broken arm and a severe
for like four burn. Months okay.
So but to me that was really interesting, because it puts it into perspective, because I think a lot of people don't take emotional pain as like something real until you compare it to physical pain.
I know, which is crazy, but it is true. God, that is so wild. So a broken arm. Wow, broken, that is and wild. I've
broken my arm and that shit hurts.
Oh, that is so crazy.
So yeah,
the thing I was thinking through a lot was I wrote this Substack on speaking of what are our brains meant for and how do our brains process it. I got really, really curious about our breakups natural, like especially a modern breakup. Like a modern breakup is often because it's distinct because we technically have all this access to that person.
Right.
So a modern breakup is one day you're spending all this time with someone, they're texting you, you have the channels open, and then they're just gone. They're completely gone. And if you're like me, like they're completely gone. Like I'm a no contact queen. I really believe in no contact. I think you have to feel it, go through it. Otherwise it just drags out forever. And also men tend to abuse the ability to contact. Mm-hmm. And so they're just gone. And so I've noticed I was feeling really like my brain, like a lot of cognitive dissonance. Mm-hmm. And so I looked up, like when I was going through this, I looked up like, are breakups evolutionarily natural? Mm-hmm. Is it evolutionarily natural to have someone just disappear one day and not be dead? Mm-hmm. And it's not, obviously. Our brains haven't evolved. I got obsessed with this because my dad is obsessed with like ancient cave paintings. So I went to the south of France and saw them. And they told us on the tour, the cave paintings are like 20 to 25,000 years old, that our brains have not evolved since then. Our physiological brains have not evolved. So back then, it was not normal to one day have someone disappear. The only two situations in which someone disappears, if they died or they were like shunned from the group, which means they're as dead. I may have talked about this before, but I find it so interesting. And it helped me be way gentler with myself, because I'm like, I'm experiencing the grief of death, but the cognitive dissonance of knowing they're still alive, they just don't want to talk to me.
Right.
And it's really confusing. It's hard to feel those two emotions, because like grief
is so sad, but right. then it's coupled with confusion, anger, this like tension of like, should I get in contact? Should I not? Why aren't they reaching out to me? It's really disorienting. So ever since I learned that, I always kind of like pat my brain on the head and I'm like, it's okay, buddy. Like you're coping with a lot.
I think, yeah. And I think with our generation, social media makes it even harder because you have like instant access
so much
to this
harder.
Person yes. and what they're doing. And that I'm very curious. I always love like asking the questions like, how would it be different if social media didn't exist? Mm-hmm, like, mm-hmm. how would breakups affect our generation differently? Like, I'm sure the way that our parents' generation dealt with breakups is very different for many reasons. But specifically, like you said, because they don't really have access to this. Once you break up and you move out of the town or whatever it is, you never see this person again. They might write you a letter.
So they're basically as good as dead, which I think is actually more in alignment with how our brains were meant to perceive it.
But now the fact that you break up with someone and you can like type in their handle onto Instagram and you can be like, they're married, they have a kid. You know, like you can find out so much about this person by just like looking them up online. And to me, that's the crazy part. It's like, unless you block them from everything. And even when you have, there's a chance you can see them pop up in someone else's stories or something like that. It's like, it's really interesting. But I do think you're right. I don't think we're wired to like
go through breakups. Not especially a modern breakup. Yeah, it's so confusing. It like makes me feel better though that I feel like I haven't been like at my best self, but ever since
because your brain is fucked up.
Yeah, and having this conversation makes me feel better. I'm just craving the day I feel full indifference. Yeah. Like, oh, there's just like the way that I love
it's
that Taylor
coming.
Swift song.
Well, it's been how long? Like 4 months?
Yeah, 4 months.
Yeah.
So I can feel like I'm getting there. It's so weird to be on the cusp because I feel like I'm about to lose the memory of the pain. And then I'm about to dive back in to dating again, I think. And it's crazy that we're that masochistic.
It's actually that is evolutionary. I was reading a study also that
to date again or what?
Yeah, to date again, to put yourself through hell again potentially because it's our brains.
Hey, okay, all right. I might be happy and live.
No, what I'm saying, like, it's crazy because like you went through this crazy thing and then you're like, should I do the same thing?
No, it's literally the definition of insanity to do it again.
But it's because humans are conditioned evolutionarily to be with other people, and so it's your brain's way of saying like, all right, time to.
It's crazy.
To mate.
Yeah. No, it's like, crazy in the way that it can black out. Like truly like the way I felt like
it's like people who
death.
Give birth and I was like, that was the most traumatic experience of my life. Can't wait to have.
Yeah, I know.
Kids.
But then like 3 months later, I'm going again.
And then so I think it's like one of those where it's like your brain is like, you have to do this thing again. So let me just make you forget that it happened.
Yep.
So it's very interesting. But moving on to like a different prompt that I think it's really interesting. What's like the most unhinged or like crazy thing you've done after a breakup?
God.
Can you think of any examples? You don't talk about this one personally. The last one that you've been through. I don't know if you've done it.
One time
crazy.
I went to Jersey to hook up with a guy.
Because, like, as a rebound from New York, we're in Jersey.
Oh, the suburbs.
Oh, that's, yeah.
It was.
I'm like, that's low.
It was unbearable.
No,
it was so.
And I love Jersey.
Oh, I'm like cringing at it.
I say that because my best friend Olga lives there. But, what I mean is like
to hook up with one
that's
guy
what I'm
for
saying.
A one night
that's,
situation. It was one of the unhinged. Dumbest things. Yeah, that was a pretty bad situation.
Went to a different state.
Yeah,
for a rebound.
I've made out and kissed some people that were like questionable. There's, I hope he doesn't listen to this. Oh, I don't know if I should say this. They're just like
don't say his name.
Like a magician.
A magician.
It's like a magician in New York who was like popular for a while, and I forgot that I'd kissed him.
Wait, did you go to like his magic show?
I don't know. I went to a drink because he was like tied to my job, and like he like went to
and
kiss
you knew
me,
he
and
was
I like
a magician,
didn't...
and you chose to make out with.
Okay,
him.
All right. I'm sensing a lot of judgment from the side of the room.
I just can't picture. I mean, I can picture you being like at the magic show, and be like, "Wow, he's so hot."
Oh God, I can't even remember. What about you? Do you remember?
Oh, so many. I'm sure. I'm trying to think of like a good one. Yeah, I definitely like would make out with anyone just to feel something. You know.
It's true.
Just to feel something.
I'm like, maybe I need that now. I'm like, maybe I'm in that
stage. I definitely like hooked up or like gave guys a chance, if you will, that I'm like, this guy
I know.
Does not deserve this. But I was just same. I was like, I just need to forget this pain. I need someone to make me feel good for like, I don't know, one night and feel like maybe, like, especially when like, you're hooking up with a guy for the first time. They're like, you're so pretty or you're so beautiful.
Right, like make you feel desired.
And you're just like, okay.
I'll take it.
And then the next morning you wake up and you're like, Oh my God.
I just like can't. This is me getting too old. This is my memory that actually weirdly hasn't gone away is how bad the morning after that decision feels. Like I want to rip my skin.
You literally feel dirty.
Like, I know. I'm like, I can picture it. It's like, you know, this is so gross, but you know, if you don't brush your teeth for too long, your teeth feel fuzzy. Yes. It's like your body feels
your
fuzzy.
Your insides, your outsides, everything.
Oh, I can like picture all these times in New York I would do that. I had my stages and I would like go to the bodega wherever their apartment was and wander in my like crusty face and clothes and just get like whatever food, you know, like the bodega sandwich. Yeah. And I'm like, I need to get this before I can even figure out my exit plan.
Yeah. Yeah. And I had, it's not on Hinge, they're crazy. I think it's actually like pretty standard, but I had this one ex in Miami because like dating in Miami is truly hell. And I had this one ex that I would always like, I just knew he's always down.
Go back to him. Yeah.
And I didn't like him, but I was just like, I need to feel pretty.
Yep. I know.
To feel nice. It. And I would just, I knew like things were not going well for me. Like I was at my lowest low when I would like text them at like 12:30 and I was like, hey, what up?
I get it.
It's like riding a bicycle, you know? And so I just remember like I was not doing well I would be like, hey. And it's always like a 11:30 PM text.
I feel like I've never been a booty. Have I ever done a booty call? I did go. Remember the Australian guy? I did break up because that was right after my breakup. I broke up with my New York boyfriend, my first boyfriend ever, 27 mm-hmm. years old. I'd like to rehash that. I'm just like, everyone know I'm the latest bloomer.
In case you forgot.
Possible. And broke up with a New York boyfriend. And then a guy I had gone on two dates with 2 years before. What's happened to WhatsApp me? And I knew he had had a girlfriend. WhatsApp me like a week later. And it was like, hey, what are you doing? Do you live in Europe now? Because I'd wanted to move to Europe. Mm-hmm. I said no. And then he goes, basically, we decided that we would go to Scotland together like a week later. So I ended up meeting up with a guy going on a full-on couples trip with him and his two best friends.
That's insane.
To Scotland. And then 3 weeks after that, he's like, do you want to come to Australia? And I was like, shock it. So that on our fourth date, I went, met his whole family, went to Australia. Had a whole adventure, but I don't think I would have. I was in my rebound chaos.
Your brain was all dirt.
I'm literally like, I don't know what I was doing. I was so committed to my job, and yet at that time, I was like, "Hi, boss. In 3 weeks, I'm going to Australia for 2 weeks.
To Australia with this man I barely know.
I think my parents still have no idea who I went to Australia with. Met his sister, met his mom, met his dad. God. Crazy, but again, I don't think I would have done that unless I was truly in that post breakup weird craving of. You know, someone telling me chaos. I'm pretty, basically.
Yeah. And also it's like, yeah, for me, it's that like, for me, it's more like the people that I was like, I don't want to say like given a chance to like, I'm like, you're lucky. But yeah, like guys that I'm like, I would never think about this situation, but it's like, you said hi to me. So I guess let's hang out. So I would say I dated some questionable people during the rebound phase and I always regretted it. And then it wasn't me, but it was actually my ex because I broke up with him in high school. He was a little cuckoo and he showed up to my house.
Oh my God. I've heard you told me this a long time ago.
Yeah. He was a little out of it, but the night we broke
didn't
up.
Didn't your mom like threaten to like take him down?
My mom was like, okay. So just disclaimer, I was 17. He was maybe 18. Okay. He did a lot of drugs. So he was not okay. And I broke up with him cause he was crazy. And he essentially showed up to my house and like would not accept the breakup. And there was some construction near my house and he grabbed the brick and started hitting himself with the brick and saying that he was going to kill himself. And I was like, oh my God, like he's going to kill himself. And my mom was like, he's not going to kill himself. He's just being dramatic. And something about my mom, like an adult being like, he's not going to kill himself. He wouldn't announce it like that. Like he was just so unfazed by this. And he did this whole like drama, whatever. Anyway, then he left 2 weeks later. He was like, I want you back. And I was like, oh my God, I don't know, like, whatever. Shows up with a golden retriever puppy.
Wait, I didn't know this.
And I'm like,
what?
What? A part of me was like, this is the sweetest thing anyone has ever done for me. I was also 17 and like not fully, my mm-hmm. frontal lobe wasn't,
yeah, of course, fully.
Wasn't developed. But yeah. I was like, this is like the sweetest thing. Like you brought me a puppy. And again, my mom was like, that's a manipulation tactic. And
it for sure was still probably would have taken the puppy, but for sure was. Yeah.
Like it was really hard to say no to the puppy. The funny thing, the kicker out of all of this, while he was begging for my forgiveness, he had been cheating on me the entire summer. So I was
of
like,
Of course.
But to me, it's just kind of funny. Like, that was him losing his mind of going through a breakup, like hitting his head with a brick, showing up with a puppy 2 weeks later. Like,
and welcome to the pod to talk about his own experience.
The crazy thing is, like, now he's like married and like has his shit together, and he's like, it seems like a normal dude.
Maybe he inoculated himself against.
I mean, to be fair, again, we were like 17 and 18. I think you're like very dumb and stupid at that age.
That's true.
But I'm like, that is like the most unhinged, I think.
You've seen someone be.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I would say. And then for me, it's, yeah, it's just like stupid shit. You just like feel stupid. You want to, like, I think I also like drank a lot more when I was like going through this because you want to numb the pain. So I would say like definitely like a lot of questionable, like, blackout nights where like, oh, I think I took my shoes off one time walking home in New York.
Oh, no.
Yeah.
In New York?
Yeah.
Oh, woof. That'd be rough. Yeah. Yeah, I guess like for anyone going through it, feel free to DM us and don't take your shoes off in New York. But you're definitely, I know this sounds trite, but you are definitely not alone. This is a really fucking hard experience. If you're like me and you're always saying to yourself, like, I just don't want to feel this way anymore. I swear to God, even though it's the most annoying thing to say, time does. And then one day, and I don't know why it happens, like, it just, something you clicks. Wake up and like something is just like, not as bad. Like, the mornings have been so hard for me because I just like have to re-remember, and now I just like wake up and it's not bad. And it's just, it does fade. It's just one of those things, but it does fade, and it does fade better if you do the work. So if you're a straight guy listening to this and you think that signing up for a marathon is going to get you over your breakup, let me advise you otherwise.
And then the last thing I'll say before we close this out, I actually looked up, is there any like science-backed like
guide
to help you rewire your brain to forget about someone. And I found something. It's not like groundbreaking, but I thought it was interesting.
Is it get a golden retriever puppy?
No, but I'm sure that couldn't hurt. So I found this, like, how to use logic and neuroscience to heal from a breakup. And these are tips from...
Danny, you know me so well.
I know. I was like, I'm in my Gabby era. But these are breakup tips from Dr. Guy Winch. He's a psychologist, and he wrote a book called How to Fix a Broken Heart.
Okay.
And a lot of it is based on science.
We should get this.
Yeah. I actually am like, I'm not even going through a breakup, but I'm really interested in this. But so this is what he says. So these are actually science-backed ways to help your brain move through heartbreak. So first is avoid visual triggers. So anything like photos or videos on your phone or things that you can come across, texts or stalking your ex on social. Those are all sentimental reminders.
I'm like so good at this one.
Okay.
Because I know it works.
Yeah.
Because it's crazy, but it works. Like blocking, deleting photos.
And it's also, it's because these sentimental triggers, reminders trigger the dopamine surge. Hmm. And then your brain wants to see it. It becomes addictive again.
Right. That makes sense. So interesting.
That's
crazy that it's actually neurological. Because like I know it felt not helpful, but
it seems logical, but it's also like actually
no, that's cool. Well, based on some of the people I know, I don't think they think it seems logical.
Well, so, let me tell you, it's not working in your favor. Yeah. And this is the scientist talking, not me.
We should tell this to iPhone, who keeps showing me fucking memories of every ex I've ever had in a slideshow with music.
That would be a great like ex mode where like it just deletes or not deletes, but permanently.
It would
like,
be so. I actually had to, this is such a ramble, but I had to go because my ex and I had all these shared albums together and I hated them like hovering in my thing. So one night it was like 2 a.m. and I was like, fuck it, I'm doing it. And I had to go like delete all the albums and like leave all the albums. And that would be such a good idea, Apple, if you're listening.
Like an X mode.
The X mode, and just click like delete every image of this one person, unfollow everything. Oh, that's so smart.
So it's the first one. And then what he says, so instead to replace that dopamine that you're missing, you should do it in healthier ways. So a lot of people turn to exercise after a breakup because actually movement releases endorphins that actually lift your mood and can regulate your stress.
That makes sense.
So
whatever, I started getting obsessed with spin, as you know.
There you go. Yeah. Whatever exercise can make you feel better, if it's walking, if it's taking a class, if it's doing yoga, like.
But again, to the straight men, this with emotion.
Okay? Yes.
It can be exercise and it's not exercise or emotion.
Yes.
Just want to throw that out there.
Exactly. And then the other one is recalibrating your mindset. So make a list of all the things that weren't great about the relationship, stuff that you might have glossed
over. Get them off that pedestal.
Yeah. Because it can help your brain see things more clearly and logically, and it could help you move towards closure.
Hmm.
When you actually have it in writing, like a list of all the things that maybe you weren't aligned. Like,
do you know what I've been doing? I've been trying. So I believe in like regrooving neural pathways. And so I've been, when I have a thought that's like, I'm so sad, I'll never find anyone like him again, I I tell myself, so I used to always be mad at him. We never really had a fun time. So I just will tell myself a memory of like, I'll be like, remember that one time at dinner when I cried because he wouldn't talk to me and he thought it was like weird to have conversations in a relationship. And so I'll be like really sad. And then I'll be like, remember that one time. And I've been noticing the neural pathway for me is like eradicating the sadness. Cause I'm like remembering it with a halo effect. Like it wasn't actually that great. So I can totally see why that worked. Cause you have to replace the pedestal, the nostalgia with the reality of what it was.
It's again, like it's a logical thing too. Yeah. If you, also, I think if you see it in writing, you're like, oh my God, there's 20 reasons why we weren't going to work out.
Oh my God, I know. So it's like one, which is like, I don't know.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then the last thing is, speaking of closure, according to Dr. Winch, one of the biggest blocks to healing is the lack of closure. Sometimes we don't get a satisfying reason for our breakup, so we spiral. But creating your own version of closure, like accepting that the relationship wasn't emotionally aligned or simply that it wouldn't have worked in the long term, can actually help your brain start to let go.
That makes total sense.
So it seems something like something so simple, but it's like actually telling yourself like, yes, I loved them and I was in love with him and blah, 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 but we weren't aligned in this thing.
I think the key is it's something that you have to believe it.
Mm-hmm.
Like it can't be something that your friend tells me you should believe. It can't be. I think a lot of people have this false perception that if you tell your friend you were out of his league, he never deserved you, it's going to heal her.
Yeah.
But it needs to be something she believes, which was like, I don't know, like he never brought me joy, or like we had very different visions for our life together. But it's true. The closure thing is a big one that I see hang up a lot of my friends where they're like, but I need closure. I'm like, I think you have to create the closure.
Yeah, create it. Yeah. But in short, don't look at pictures of your ex. Let go of the fantasy. Move your body.
X-mode,
and retrain
baby.
Your brain to tell a new story.
Love that.
So,
Danny, that was such a good finale. Well done.
Well, science.
I've really taken
something.
A backseat on this breakup combo.
No, I just really got really geeked out over the science.
I'm going to turn to my married friend really cool. Who's actually in a healthy relationship versus my idiot self. Okay. Well, hopefully you guys are recovering. And if not, turn to Danny. She's there. She's here for all your DMs.
I'll send you my breakup playlist if anybody wants it.
Okay, time for our next segment. How do you not know this?
Huh? Okay, what do you have for me? What's something?
Mine's really stupid.
Okay.
It's going to take 5 seconds.
What is it?
Do you watch Keeping Up with the Kardashians?
Of course.
You do?
Well, I haven't watched the new seasons because I don't like them. They're boring.
I've watched like 5 episodes in total.
How do you feel? Oh my God, I'm so happy you're dipping your toe in the reality TV.
So glad you asked. What I want to say is that I think Kylie Jenner is hilarious.
I actually agree.
Hilarious. Yeah. Like, she is so underrated in terms of her humor. And maybe she's not, but I just think I need to see her. It makes sense why she's dating Timothy Chalamet. She's so dry. She's so witty. She's so playful in the way her sense of humor. Like, but like leagues beyond. Chloe's pretty funny.
Yeah.
But Chloe's funny in more of a blunt way.
Like traditional.
Yeah. Funny. Kylie is funny in like a, like I could actually see her doing like comedy sketches.
I mean, she's really funny too.
I just can't get over it. I just think it's one of those things where I'm like, someone cast her in something and she's
Are you watching
remarkable.
The latest season?
Yeah, I'm watching the latest season. I'm only, 4 episodes in maybe?
Yeah. I don't love the Hulu since they moved to Hulu because it feels, I think they produce it.
I know. They have control over everything.
So the storylines are actually quite boring. Like it's like very, you could tell they control the narrative. So it became really boring.
No, like each episode is like, we're planning a party or like we're going to India. And it's just like, it's not good. Let me just be clear.
It's
and
good background noise.
I do it while I work because with my raging ADHD that I'm learning to cope with. What about you?
I'm going to talk about a Venezuelan band called Rawayana.
Okay.
And the reason I'm talking about them because they just, they're not headlined, but they're playing at Coachella. This weekend is weekend one of Coachella, but this episode will come out right in between weekend one and weekend two. Mm. They're playing on Saturday. If you're in Coachella, go check them out. They're really fun. They're a Venezuelan band. They kind of mainly
playing both weekends?
Yeah, yeah. Oh. I think everyone plays the both weekends.
Really?
Yeah, yeah. It's the same lineup both weekends.
Oh.
Yeah.
I didn't know that.
And so what I love about them, they're really fun. Their music is kind of like, I'm trying to see, because I'm not like a music expert, but I would say like, they're kind of like, not fully reggae, but kind of like soul reggae, like really fun, like fun time music. Like, I don't know. It's just really
fun time music.
Fun time music. It's not like you're going to listen to this category. And you're going to want to move your body. It's not like sad, like let's cry music. They're really fun. I think it's their bassist. I can't remember his name, but every time he dances, he's like, you
Is
know,
he
like,
hot? Can I look him up?
I think you're actually going to like the guitarist better. Ooh. Or the singer.
What's the name again?
Rawayana. Rawayana. Also, that name means nothing. They made it up to make it sound like a native Venezuelan word, but it doesn't mean anything. They're really fun. They're bassist.
Which one is the guitarist?
I'm going to say like, hold on, let me look it up.
I wish I could turn my computer to you, but our setup is chaos with cords.
Anyway,
are we making good podcast right now? Is this interesting that you guys can't see me Googling them?
Well, I can put a picture of them up. So I actually think they're great. They're really fun. You could tell they're having a fun time while doing this. I'm really happy they made it to Coachella because it's such a big deal. They sing mainly in Spanish, so they're not necessarily cool. What you would think a mainstream band is. So I think they're having their moment now. They seem like really cool, chill guys. The bassist is my favorite because he's always like dancing like nobody's watching. I'm going to show you a video after this.
Is he the one with the mullet?
Yes.
Okay. I could sense that would be the one who's dancing like nobody's
he's
watching.
He's also like a father of like five. Like really? He's like, not like that changes anything, but to me it's just so funny that he's like a man with like five kids or three kids. I don't know how many kids he has. And he's just like really fun. And I'm just very proud of them because they're like not headlining, but they have a pretty like, I think they go on at 10 p.m. So like not like shitty timing. And I really like, they just released an astrology album in collaboration with another band. And so really? Every sign gets a song. And they're really fun. And when you
want to hear my, I want to hear my song.
What are you? Leo? Actually, Leo is one of the best songs.
How dare you?
What am I?
But yeah, check them out. If you're tired of Bad Bunny because you like listen to the album 200 times, I think this is a good alternative because it's like similar type of music. Even if you don't know what they're saying, it's like really feel good, fun music, very Caribbean vibes, very fun. So check them out. They're kind of like the Venezuelan Pride and Joy because, as you know, us Venezuelans are not having a good, our brand has been tarnished.
Yeah. Well, so, I don't know.
Well,
I feel like American brand has been tarnished.
Yeah, but I'm just saying, it's really good to have like good Venezuelan representation. And they just
Tropical
did.
Rock, by the way. If
Tropical
you're
Rock.
What it's
there
called.
You go. There you go. So that's exactly what I was trying to say. I'm like, soul? I don't know. But yeah, check them out. They're really fun. And if you want to watch them on Coachella, they'll be on next Saturday.
Cool.
Yeah. Time for our next segment.
Snack and spiral, spiral and snack. What is your snack?
Okay.
What are you eating?
I am going to talk about my love for cardamom buns.
Ooh,
I love
you do
them.
Love them. Yeah.
I do. I discovered them when I went to Sweden a few years ago. I didn't know they were a thing until I went there. And my friend's like, you should get a cardamom bun. That's very Swedish. And I was like, what is that? And I went to a coffee shop and I got one. And I was
I had
like,
the same experience.
First of all, I offended the barista because I didn't know that in Sweden, everyone speaks English. And I was approaching it like a French place. I was like, excuse me, do you speak English? And she looked at me like, yeah, like idiot. Of course.
I don't think you offended her.
No, I know.
Hi, hi.
No.
Hey, hey,
that's
hey.
My favorite. But I asked my friend, I was like, are you supposed to ask people if they speak English? She's like, no, everybody speaks English. But I was like, I'm so sorry, because in France, it's actually polite when you ask
yeah, I
people.
Know.
And she was like,
that's
no,
so funny.
Everybody speaks. So
it's
if you go
like
to Sweden,
like, are you educated? That's
yes,
probably how it
exactly.
Came across. Yeah, yeah.
So if you ever go to Sweden and you're going to go get a cardamom bun, don't even ask the lady. Just be like, can I just get one of them?
Yeah.
One okay. of them buns.
Good advice.
So it was really great. I loved it. I just love the different spices because it's kind of like a cinnamon roll, but not really, because like obviously the spices are different.
It's like more bitter, right?
Yeah, I don't know. Something about, I just really like the bitterness or like the spices and the contrast of like the sweetness of the bun. So I love them. There's some million places where you can get them in Paris. There's literally a place super close to me that we normally go and get snacks before the pod called Komaberry, I think it's called, this Japanese place, but they make really good buns there. They have cinnamon, chocolate, and cardamom. So
yeah,
that's my favorite. I love cinnamon also, and chocolate, of course, but I think cardamon is my favorite.
Your fave.
I think it's just
my
because
favorite
it's
cinnamon.
Different.
I get it.
It's like
it's
a
more
different
unique.
Taste.
You have a more elevated palate than me. I think it's like a little too bitter. I love the texture of cardamom bombs, but I think the cardamom's, but this place is really good.
Yeah, and I will say if you want to get them in other places, there's a place in the 9th as well called Leonie Bakery. Actually, they have a few locations all over Paris. They make a really good cardamom bun as well, and a cinnamon bun that's really good. And there's a place called, I'll put it in the show notes, I can't remember. I think it's called Book Nook? Nookbook? Bookstore? Something
oh,
like
I've
that.
Heard of that before. Yeah.
It's in Belleville in the 19th. Really good. I think the best come from there. It's a Nordic coffee shop,
ooh,
so it makes sense.
Cool.
But it's a little far for me, so I don't go there very often. But if you live in the neighborhood, definitely check them out.
I was somewhere the other day with a friend. It's like that place with the giant white dog. Do you know what it is? It's next to a vintage store, and they were making them fresh in the back, and ooh, everyone there was Scandinavian. It was the nicest staff in the world.
Yeah. that yeah. checks out. But yeah, any Scandinavian place that you go to, I'm sure will have good buns because yeah. that's their thing. Cool. So
what yeah. do you, what's annoying you? My favorite question to ask everyone.
Mine is kind of silly, to be honest. But okay, I have this thing right now I'm going through. I just hate taking the metro in Paris for whatever reason. I don't know why. So because I don't have to commute to the office anymore, if I don't have to take the metro, I try to take the bus.
Because the going down and the going of the backup are I think really annoying on the metro.
I think it's that. Plus, it's always crowded.
Yes, true.
And for me, I was like, it's been so nice that I'm like, I want to be outside. So I've been trying to take the bus.
That's a good point, too. Yeah.
And when the bus works in Paris, it's magical.
Glory.
It's amazing. It's great. You know, you're like looking at the beautiful sights and it's like so nice. And some of the routes are like, it looks like a tour that you're taking. Mm. Like there's one, I don't remember what number, but there's this one bus that goes like all like next to the Seine, and you like pass by all these beautiful places, and it really feels like you're in like a, like cool. one of those tours yeah. or whatever. So I love the bus system in Paris, specifically the one that goes up Montmartre, because you don't have to go up the steps. So it's great. Also, they drive like crazy. So it feels like you're in a roller coaster when you're going up Montmartre. But that's my terrifying. Beef with the bus system in Paris is it's so flaky. It's kind of like,
I don't get how they even run the system. They never show up. It's so weird.
That's the thing. They never show up, or like the timings are like, there's, if you miss this one, well, too bad. The next one is in 20 minutes. And I'm like, what? Like, why 20 minutes? Why can't it be like every 10? Like in London, I feel like the bus runs.
Are they good there?
Yes. It's like sometimes faster than the tube. So I love, and there's like a million buses.
You go so far down for the tube sometimes too.
Exactly.
Like miles underground.
I also think there's like three, like there's a million bus lines in London. So I will say in the past couple of weeks, because now I'm a bus girly, I've experienced like either the bus doesn't show up, or it shows up when like at a different time. Or sometimes I'll be like, I'll scan my ticket and the guy be like, oh, that stop you're going to, we're not stopping there. And I'm like,
hello? Oh my God, the most annoying. And I bet you they don't reimburse you, huh?
Well, no, last time I was like, okay, can you let me out here? And he was nice. He's like, okay. And so he let me out in like a place that wasn't a stop. So sometimes they can be nice. Sometimes they can be assholes. I would say the best, the most accurate thing I've found is this app called Street Easy. No, City Mapper. I would keep calling it Street Easy in Hawaii.
I like City Mapper. City Mapper is the most accurate of all the city apps I've ever found.
And I will say with the bus, it's definitely the most accurate with the timings. Mm. It'll tell you like really when it comes. Know. Yeah.
Okay.
But that's my beef with the bus system in Paris.
I agree. I
get your shit together. But I still love you. I love you, especially the one that takes me up to Montmartre, because I'm like, I don't want to do the steps.
God, I'm never doing those again.
But what are you snacking on?
Well, we pick stuff from the same place.
Yes.
And so this place, Kohlrabi, what the heck is it called?
Kohlrabi.
The reason we go is because it's in the 9th, which is like convenient to where we record the pod. And
they're also open on Sundays, which is great.
It's just incredible because nothing else is.
Yeah.
They have an apple pie that I really like. And I'm like not someone who's often seeking out / finding apple pie. I think the last time I had apple pie was in that place in Amsterdam that everyone goes
which
to.
Which is really good. Yeah.
Good. But this is, it's just like such a meaty one. Like there's so many apples. It's like, it's thick. And then it comes with a side of like whipped creme fraiche kind of, which is so good to dip in. Good. It's also just such a fun random treat to have an apple pie in a random day of the week. I just love the idea of it because apple pie is not something I'm eating.
Often. It's really good. Yeah. I will say I'm not an apple pie person normally, but when you brought that the other day, I was like, it's so good.
It was good. It was like fresh. And so that was like one of my surprises thing that I definitely would go back for.
What are you spiraling about?
Okay. Mine is very random, but I was thinking about it because this girl made a TikTok that was mocking people who do this. And now I've been noticing it so much and it drives me crazy. And it's people who, when you're in the middle of a conversation, sorry, I shouldn't say people. It is the act of doing this. This is not like a shame on the people who do it, but it's saying like, if I'm talking to you and I'm like, and you're explaining a situation to me and I go, okay, so it's kind of like this. And then you respond, no, it's not really like that.
Okay.
It's people who do that.
Okay.
It to me is a conversational nicety. So when someone's explaining a situation to you, like it's a conversational nicety if someone tries to like prescribe and say like, oh, so it's kind of like this type of thing, to go back, yeah, kind of like that.
Right.
Why are there are a lot of people out there, and the line they'll often say is, I mean, it's not even that. I mean, not really. It's
like kind correcting of like, you for no reason.
Yeah, but like, yes. And it creates this weird shutdown dynamic. And I have a couple people in my life who do it all the time, I've been realizing.
Oh,
and
interesting.
It's just such a weird.
Shame them.
God.
Tell me else.
I'm like, it's not the person. It's like they probably don't know it's a conversational tick they're doing it, but the way that it feels when you're shut down over and over again.
Yeah.
So anyway, if you're out there and you're often doing this, and people are slowing down and not talking to you as much, maybe understand that it's because it feels like shit
totally
to have your ideas shut down all the time. But yeah,
I feel that. Yeah. I hate that. I feel like sometimes there's like social norms you have to follow. Like you don't have to be right all the time.
Yeah. You don't have to also tell exactly. You don't have to be right all the time. Also like you could do the thing like we're in the Midwest and Wisconsin, you always go, yeah, no, well, kind of, sort of like in the, we always respond with like 8 different versions of yes and no. Yeah. So do that. Be like, yeah, I mean, kind of, sort of, just throw me a bone. Basically everyone throw me a bone. That's how we'll end this. Gabby's throw me a bone going through a breakup. Going through a broken arm.
Huh?
What was the other thing? A broken arm and what else?
Severe burn.
Severe burn. Yeah. Guys, thanks for coming to this. What do they thanks call it? Dog listening. And Pony Show?
Yeah.
Yeah. We should call it, should have called our podcast Dog and Pony Show.
Honestly, sure. Why not? I am a one trick pony, so.
Ooh, but okay, we'll end on that note. Bye guys. See you next week.
Bye.
This was Clashes.
Podcast brought to you by two idiots.
Clearly. I don't know if I can laugh on cue.